It's time for another episode of Game Warden Connection. Your resource for the outdoors. I hope you're ready. Because here's your host, Carlos Gomez and Joe Alexander. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Game Warden Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Alexander, and today we've got an episode that's sure to get your heart racing. We're diving into the world of early season teal hunting and sharing tips and strategies to help you have a successful, memorable teal season this year. So grab your favorite shotgun, dig out your waders, and let's get started. Before we jump into the tips, let's take a moment to discuss what makes early season teal hunting so special. The early season, typically occurring in late summer and early fall around here, provides waterfowl hunters with a unique opportunity to pursue one of the fastest, most agile ducks in North America. That's right, the teal. And I might add, it might be one of the tastiest as well. Teal are known for their incredible speed, their erratic flight patterns, and their tendency to be found in small, tight flocks. Hunting them can be both challenging and exhilarating. Now let's get into those tips that'll help you maximize your success during this exciting time of the year. Tip number one, scout early and often. One of the keys to success in early season teal hunting is scouting. Teal are known for their unpredictable movements, so it's crucial to spend time scouting your area well before the season opener. Don't wait till the day of, you'll be too late. Look for the teal's preferred habitats, which include shallow ponds, marshes, flooded fields, anywhere that there's small pockets of water. Be on the lookout for these areas with abundant aquatic vegetation, as teal tend to feed on aquatic plants and small invertebrate insects. Hunting with a partner or a group can also be advantageous during this scouting time. This allows you to cover more ground and increase your chances on finding that perfect spot where the teal are feeding or maybe resting. Tip number two, concealment is key. Teal have sharp eyesight and can spot movement from a great distance away. Therefore, it's essential to conceal yourself effectively. Brush up on your camouflaging techniques and consider using maybe layout blinds. Cut natural vegetation. When you're working with your duck blind, be sure to take a look at your shadows. As the sun moves across the sky, what will it look like? Utilize overhanging limbs or trees to break up your outline from the sky. Early season teal hunting often involves setting up near the water's edge. Remember, you want to be undetected, so try to wear camo that matches the vegetation in your hunting area. This way you will blend in seamlessly along the water's edge. Tip number three, select the right decoys. Using the right decoys is critical when hunting teal. Teal decoys should be lightweight and highly visible. many hunters prefer motion decoys for teal to simulate the ripples and the movement on the water that teal find attractive. A mix of teal drakes and hen decoys can also add some realism to your spread. Remember, you don't have to have a lot of decoys. Teal tend to fly in smaller flocks compared to other ducks, so setting up a great big spread is not really necessary. You don't need 3 dozen teal decoys. Just a few decoys can be highly effective. Focus on the quality over quantity when it comes to your decoy setup. Personally, I like to recommend the Premier series from G&H Decoys. They have some green wing and blue wing teal that are really nice. Check them out. Tip number 4, timing matters. Early season teal hunting often involves hunting in early morning or maybe late in the evening when teal are the most active. Shoot, all ducks are most active at that time. Teal are crepuscular, meaning they are most active during dawn and dusk. Plan your hunting trips accordingly and arrive at your hunting location well before first light. Here's a pro tip. Get there first and go in farthest. You will generally have success. Additionally, pay attention to weather conditions. Teal are more likely to be on the move during cool, overcast days. Pay attention to those cold fronts. So keep an eye on the forecast and plan your hunt accordingly. Tip number 5, practice your shooting skills. Teal are known for their agility and speed, making them challenging targets. To increase your success rate, spend time practicing your shooting skills. Skeet or trap shooting can help improve your accuracy and reaction time, which are both crucial during teal season. When shooting teal, aim slightly in front of the bird to account for their swift flight. And remember, safety should always be your top priority when handling your firearms. Tip 6. Be patient and be flexible. Teal hunting can be unpredictable, and sometimes teal will fly in large numbers, and others there will just be a few. Maybe it's just a single. So patience is the key. If you're not seeing much action in one spot, be prepared to pick up and move to another location based on your scouting information and changing weather conditions. If something's not right with your set, you can pull up quickly and move to another location. After all, you're just using a few decoys as compared to 3 dozen. Flexibility in your hunting strategy can make a significant difference in your success during the early teal season. Tip number 7, respect conservation and the laws and regulations. Before you head out for your early teal season hunting, be sure to familiarize yourself with all the relevant hunting regulations and bag limits in your area. Teal populations vary from year to year, and there may be specific regulations in place to protect these birds during their migration. It's our responsibility as hunters to respect these regulations and contribute to conservation and waterfowl populations. Remember, it's our responsibility to know the laws. And depending on where you hunt, from state to state, they may be different. So pay attention to those rules and regulations. And there you have it, folks. 7 essential tips to help you have a successful season teal hunting this year. Remember to scout thoroughly, conceal yourself effectively, use the right decoys, time your hunts well, practice your shooting skills, be patient and flexible, and above all, respect conservation and the laws and rules and regulations. Teal hunting in the early season can be a challenging yet incredibly rewarding experience. So get out there, enjoy the beauty of the outdoors, and embrace the thrill of teal hunting. We hope you enjoyed all those early season teal hunting tips. If you're looking for a good recipe for teal, check out episode 7, How to Cook a Duck. We had a lot of fun making that one. Now let's transition over to a conversation that our old buddy Carlos and I had with Clint Barnes of G&H Decoys. We'll discuss the upcoming Oklahoma Waterfowl Festival. This is a festival that you do not want to miss if you're in this area. You want to try to make it to the Oklahoma Waterfowl Festival. It is a load of fun. It doesn't matter if you're just an enthusiast of duck hunting or if you're an avid duck caller. I think they even have the state championship waterfowl calling competition there. So let's check out that conversation.
On the line with us is Clint Barnes with G&H Decoy. Clint, what is your official title?
I'm the Director of Operations for G&H Decoys.
Okay. And you've been with the company now for how long? About a year?
A little over a year. I came over, saw an opening. I was an engineer with the railroad and saw an opening over here. And this has been my waterfowl, and all hunting has been my passion, but waterfowl hunting especially. It's been my passion my whole life. So I saw an opening and took a chance and came over and started working here.
So your background for what you're doing besides working on the railroad, you and I have hunted together. So I know you know waterfowl hunting and you've got some extensive experience in that. Apart from your waterfowl experience, and I know you've got a youngster and you're going to bring him up to be a hunter. I can see that already. But apart from all of that, what else would you say points you to your G&H work that you're endeavoring to do at this point in your life?
So a big thing for me is conservation. Ever since I was a little kid, my dad and my grandpa really kind of instilled that into my head to give back more than you take from the land. And I've always been a big believer in that. I've been a big believer in, public land usage and, trying to leave the land better than how we found it. So that was another big thing that drew me to G&H was the work they do for conservation. You know, all the proceeds of all sales go to conservation, not just wetland units and waterfowl, but for, the whitetail here in Oklahoma and all kinds of different habitats for, quail and turkey and all that. We partner with a bunch of different groups.
So you said something about a portion of the proceeds. Are we talking just from the waterfowl festival that we're going to talk about? Or are we talking about from G&H sales in general?
No, from all G&H sales in general, a portion of proceeds goes back to conservation. But for the waterfowl festival, all the proceeds go to the Oklahoma Wildlife Conservation Foundation. So we give back to them so they can use that money. Cause they're short, they don't have huge budgets like everybody else. So we try to give back, and all of our sponsors and vendors that show up to this, they understand that, and they've all been really excited about it and giving back to, the wildlife. So,
Well, just a disclaimer to anyone that hears this, following my retirement from the Department of Wildlife, and I knew Ray Penny, the CEO, for a period of time when he was my prosecutor in Tulsa County. And then when he took over G&H Decoy, he asked me to be the director of conservation for G&H, which I've been doing now for a year and a half or so and 2 years, whatever it's been. And, G&H is a fantastic legacy. When you look into the story of where it came from back in the 1930s, and if you look at the history in modern time with decoy production and all the overseas issues that could be discussed about the materials being held up and cargoes from China and all this production stuff that comes from overseas. Other decoy companies have had challenges there, where GNH's challenge has been to restart the company when Ray's bunch took it over, and restarting a great legacy of possibly the last big corporation that produces decoys in the United States, assembly line type stuff. We're not talking about, one decoy at a time kind of deal. We're talking about mass producing decoys for the general consuming hunters. GNH is the one and only last one to do that. So anyway, I've had a little history with you, and I've had a little history with Ray and GNH myself, but we wanted to talk about the 2023 festival coming up. And, we did the first annual last year in October of 2022, and it was somewhat small, to be quite honest about it. But going forward, to benefit the Wildlife Foundation, you guys are looking for ways to not only help the foundation, but help the outdoor sports in general. So a portion of the proceeds, I think that's pretty special. You want to talk about that some more, about all of GNH sales going to a portion of that?
Yeah. So, on the day of the festival, everything, any money that comes in here, all goes to the Wildlife Conservation Foundation. And I really want to stress to people that even though this is called the Waterfowl Festival, it's not just for waterfowlers. This benefits everybody, from people that just like going, mountain biking on trails, or bird watchers, or, anybody like that. This affects everybody, not just waterfowlers. If we don't have, the work that the foundation does, if we didn't have them, a ton of our public land would be gone. We wouldn't have it. Mm-hmm. And then we'd be turned to whoever had, private land. And there's not a lot of people have the money to go out and spend $10,000 on a lease every year. So the work they do is amazing. And like I said, I just want to stress, it's not just for us waterfowl hunters. It's for all outdoor enthusiasts. I mean, from the bird watchers to the mountain bikers to the hikers to campers, everybody. So, so like I said, all the proceeds that are generated from this festival are given to the Conservation Foundation, and they use that money to, enrich the habitat that we have here. And like I stated earlier, they're not, they don't just have an open checkbook from the state. They're limited on funds, they're limited on people. And another thing I would like to stress to people, and hopefully I'm not getting too far in a rabbit hole here, but people that are interested in this work, it's not just money that these groups need, it's volunteers. I mean, that's a big thing in itself, is when they have the money to do stuff, they have nobody to go help them do the work. So if you're really engaged in this stuff, just volunteering a Saturday afternoon and taking your kids out and teaching them about the outdoors, that's a big thing too. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have money to give back to stuff like this.
Right. We both know that, Ray Penny has had a, soft spot for BHA, the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, and GNH has been a big partner in helping grow BHA's presence and activities in Oklahoma, which of course is a national organization out of Missoula, Montana. And those guys are very big into, like you said, the public lands and access and the use for the public to use our public land across the country. So, GNH has been active in all of that, and I can certainly see where, that's pretty important stuff if you like the outdoors for any reason, but particularly for waterfowlers. It should be noted that, the vast majority of our waterfowl hunters are going to have to get on public water to be able to waterfowl hunt. So that's going to be only accessible if we have that support for folks like BHA and what GNH's efforts have been to try to help bolster the Wildlife Foundation and our public lands here in Oklahoma.
Absolutely. Yeah. BHA has been, I got turned on to BHA a couple of years ago. When I just started reading about them, Everything that they were putting out and all the information I had about them, I was like, man, this sounds just like me. So it's been a very easy transition for me to support them, become a member. There's a ton of events they have, not just here in Oklahoma, but, you know, all the different state chapters. You know, I see, you know, on social media, people publishing stuff about all the different events they have. It's a great way to get out and meet other like-minded people that care about, you know, care about the habitat and conservation and public lands and, you know, hunting and fishing. And so it's a great way to get out and network and meet other people. Mm-hmm. And we've met a lot of really good, a lot of men and women that we've become really good friends with. We do different hunting trips with them. So that is a really, the BHA is something really good to go look at. And we also do a lot of work with Delta and Ducks Unlimited. We also do stuff with the NWTF and the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. So we're not just, you know, obviously waterfowl is our big thing, but we're not just limited to shooting ducks and geese. I mean, we're right. It's more than, I mean, the hunt experience is obviously, you know, very important to us, but it's not just about going out and shooting lits and look how many of this I killed and this and that. We care more about getting out and enjoying the outdoor experience and what it actually means to be able to go and do that. And I think, you know, if there are any skeptics out there, you know, why people hunt, and I just encourage people to go out and just go on a trip one time. I mean, you don't even have to take a gun in the field with you and just go out and enjoy the outdoors and watch the wildlife and its, you know, natural habitat and see how amazing it is. So right. I think it would change a lot of people's minds.
Yeah. There's a lot of perks to being outdoors, and you don't get outdoors if you're not going there to take a photograph or to take a hike or to pick berries or to go after game or whatever you're doing. So exactly. That's where you experience some great stuff. You know, I know you've got a youngster, Ray's got several kids. So the next generation is going to be real important. So the Waterfowl Festival is also going to be, trying to do some introductions and things to help the youth as well. I know there's going to be some activities. Let's go down the list with me. It doesn't have to be in any particular order, but go down the list and talk about, some of the activities that you expect to have on the festival date, which is September 23rd. That's a Saturday. Coming up
fourth Saturday in September, we'll be running from 9 to 5. Some different activities we're going to have. One that was really popular last year, it started off for just the kids, but we had a ton of interest in it. So we set up some blank decoys, and we let the kids come in and paint whatever duck they want to paint. We give them different pictures of different waterfowl, and they paint them up in their own interpretation. So that was pretty cool. That got a lot of kids engaged last year. We are going to have different dogs here doing seminars, retriever seminars, tracking seminars. We'll also have the NWTF brings out their inflatable BB gun range. So it's a way to get the kids out there to start teaching them how to safely, properly use a firearm. They set up a target, and they get, you know, a few shots, in there, and they can come back through as many times as they want. That was a big hit. We also have something we're going to be doing this year is the Oklahoma Waterfowl Challenge. Now this is going to be there's going to be two different groups. It'll be a junior group and an adult group. So we'll have different, you know, different challenges that they're going to have to do, waterfowl identification, know the rules and regulations. We'll have, some, shotgun course set up so they'll have to shoot. So it'll be pretty challenging, but it'll be pretty cool. So they'll come out, and then the winner of that will get a prize. We'll have different prizes for junior and senior division.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be pretty cool. We also have, they'll also need to do, we'll have a calling station, so they'll have to call. Now that won't be involved with the state calling contest that we hold here. But that'll be pretty neat. So those kids will be able to see the professional callers that are out here competing to go to nationals in Stuttgart. So
there's going to be, in this youth division of the, Waterfowl Championship for the youngsters, they are going to do a little shooting. They'll be doing a little ID. They'll be doing some regulation stuff, maybe some safety questions in there. And then they have to blow their duck call. And just amongst the competitors in that challenge, they will have some duck calling category as well, correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
And so you'll have a duck calling contest apart from this. Mention that a little bit.
So this is the state champion calling contest, and the winner of this contest is qualified to go to nationals in Stuttgart, Arkansas. So we host that. We have a couple different divisions on that. So anybody that wants to sign up or register is more than welcome to come. And like I said, the winner of that gets to go on to Stuttgart to compete to represent Oklahoma in that contest.
Mm-hmm. Great. So the adult category of the waterfowl championship, champion waterfowler, I don't know what the title exactly is on that. We're talking about a state waterfowler champion. They're going to have to know some more difficult stuff, right? I mean, it sounds like you've got some good stuff for the kids, but it's going to be tougher for the adults.
It's not going to be a cakewalk for sure. I mean, there'll be a couple of gimmies in there, but there's going to be some really difficult questions, some really difficult things ID. So we'll have things out, like we'll set, you know, different feathers out, wings, beaks, kind of stuff like that, where people are really going to have to know what this is and what they're looking at. And the questions that are going to be asked on the rules and regulations and safety, they're going to be, you know, of course there'll be some obvious ones that are common sense, but there's going to be some in there that a lot of people are going to have trouble with, which I think makes it fun. It makes it more competitive. The shotgun course, we're not going to just make it where it's super easy to get out there. We're going to make it where it actually is, you know, kind of realistic out in the field where you're not just getting easy shots all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be a lot of fun. Anybody who has a competitive spirit, I think they'll enjoy it. So we're excited about it, and we hope everybody else is excited.
So those guys are going to blow duck calls as well, but they're not part of the state calling contest. They're part of their own championship category for
Oklahoma. Now if they want to sign up for the state contest, they can do both of them. They're not limited to one or the other. Mm-hmm. But everybody knows, you know, the calling for the competition for the Oklahoma Waterfowl Challenge, that's going to be more of a realistic calling field scenarios. You know, the state calling contest, if anybody's ever been to a calling competition, you know, the guys blowing those duck calls, that calling sequence is not what you're using in the field. Mm-hmm. So we want everybody to understand that we don't, we want to hear people, you know, when we, and we're not quite sure exactly how we're going to set that up yet. What we're going to kind of do, but I think what we're something along the lines of give us a hail call and give us, you know, some quacks, give us a feed or chuckle and kind of do it in a sequence of what you would do in the field.
Well, that sounds good to me. I like the idea of getting some youngsters. And of course, like you said, there's a lot of competitive waterfowlers out there that they think they know their ducks. They think they know their rules and their techniques and their calls and all those different things. And they think they're a great shot. So this will be a way for some guys to actually measure their skills up against their comrades and see who really is a knowledgeable waterfowler. So I'm looking forward to that and excited to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Last year, like you said earlier, it was pretty small. We had a bigger turnout than we thought we would have on our first year, but it still was pretty small. We've doubled. I'm pretty sure we have at this point so far. We've doubled our vendors. All the vendors that are here, it's not just waterfowl vendors. There are a ton of them that are going to be waterfowl oriented. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of other vendors that have nothing to do with waterfowl that just, you know, support what we're doing. Like I said, the NWTF, they come out, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation comes out. There's a lot of other organizations like that that show up. Gun and ammunition places, all kinds of people will be here. So there's a little bit of something for everybody here. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a hunter, if you just like fishing, if you just like I said, hiking or camping, this is still an event for you, because all the work that's done in this goes back to benefit everybody. And if we don't get together and protect our most natural resource, which is the land, there's not going to be any of that left for any of us to do anything. So, it's a really good cause, and we would appreciate anybody who wants to show support to come out and check it out.
Okay,
great.
Well,
we'll also have food trucks. We'll have food trucks here.
Oh yeah,
and all that stuff. So we'll get a wide variety. So everybody will be able to come by and eat and have fun. And it's like I said, it's a great place to just meet people and enjoy the same things you do.
Now this event is at the GNH headquarters there in Henrietta, which is right off 75 Highway, about a mile north of I-40. You can't miss it. And so you're going to be set up in the front yard like you were last year, I take it.
Yeah. We'll have parking will be on the south side of our building, and it'll wrap around to the north. We'll leave our main parking lot up front for, any handicap accessible. People can drive up there and unload. We'll have our food trucks. We'll have big tents set up. All of our vendors will be in one area. Our calling contest stage will be on another area. Our food trucks will be centrally located, so it'll be easy access. We'll have tables, so people can eat. We're also, we're planning on, across the highway from us is where we're going to hold the waterfowl challenge. We'll take everybody over there at the same time. All the competitors will run through, and then we'll all come back at the same time. That way, there's no issue crossing the highway or anything like that, but we'll be able to shoot and do everything over there. We'll have our showroom open, so if people want to come inside. Hopefully the weather's pretty good that time of September. It won't be cold, but hopefully it's not brutally hot. But if it is, people can come inside. We have a big TV. We can have football games on or whatever anybody wants to watch in there. They can relax in the air conditioning. We'll probably have a tour too, if there's enough interest and people want to walk through and see the facility and how the decoys are actually made. I'm sure that'll be going on as well. Mm-hmm. So there's all kind, and I'm sure I'm leaving out a few activities that I'm not thinking of, but there's all kinds of stuff. We want to make it fun for all ages, not just the dads. We want the moms to come out. We want the kids to come out. We want everybody to be involved. Right. So
having those factory tours, I think, is a pretty neat idea. A lot of folks have no idea what goes into a totally American-made duck decoy or goose decoy right here in Henrietta, Oklahoma, and see these machines that are just pretty impressive in just their size and design of how they press out these decoys. And then the workers, of course, you won't be making decoys there, but the machines and the tours probably be organized where you can take groups through or something like that to see it.
Yeah. Our factory will be shut down for the festival, but we will be able to go through and we can show the beginning process. And most people don't even know what it looks like when it very first starts out. I mean, it blew my mind the first time I saw it. And just walking through and hearing the history of the building and the history of the company, and how we do it, and the quality and the detail that we take to put into these things. I've never had anybody finish a tour and say, man, that was boring. They learn so much, and oh man, I didn't know that. And it's really cool, to be able to teach us. And even we have a lot of school students come in here, and we teach them about the manufacturing side. And then it's hard to keep the attention of the youth, but they all seem pretty well engaged and entertained after it.
Yeah, so that's very cool. And I've been there and been through it, and it is amazing when you look at the technology and what you guys do there with the production of the decoys. Now, you said that a portion of everything GNH sells is going for conservation programs and so forth, apart from the foundation and all that money, 100% going to the Wildlife Foundation here for Oklahoma. GNH is just the host, right? That's all they're doing is they're just really the host for this. But
yeah, Yeah, this isn't a GNH event. We have the facility and the space to hold it. And we're such big believers in it. We just volunteered that we would have, you know, we would host it here. Because if we're going to have a waterfowl festival, why not in the waterfowl capital for the decoy capital here in Henrietta? So we opened up our whole facility for anybody that's a part of this. We want everybody to be out here. I mean, we invite everybody, other decoy companies. I mean, it's not just GNH here. I mean, we'll have, anybody that wants to come is more than welcome.
So, right. I know that manufacturing and business is competitive. And so you've got other decoy manufacturers that, certainly are trying to get the business of the waterfowlers just like GNH is, but they're allowed to come over and display their stuff and sell their stuff if they want and be a part of this, just like GNH is. So on that note, are you guys going to be selling GNH decoy stuff at this event as well?
Yeah, we'll have our showroom open. We'll have products in here, so if people do want to buy GNH products, they'll be here. So it'll be just like any other show. Any vendor that's here is selling their stuff, but yeah, we'll have our presence here as well. So
okay, all right. Well, I don't know what. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, what's the price of admission?
Oh, we left that detail out.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah, it is free. Yeah. This whole thing is free. Just show up, just come have a good time. Yeah, there is no price of admission. Just show up and have a good time.
So awesome. If you've got a youngster, or if there's a competitor in your family that's a waterfowler and thinks that they're a pretty hot shot waterfowler, or a youngster that wants to be a hot shot waterfowler, this would be a great way to kind of get started and measure up how they're going to do in the challenge of trying to outsmart some ducks and at the same time see some cool gadgets and calls and other things related to waterfowling. So if you're a waterfowler, especially, I mean, like you said, anything in the hunting world, I would think this would be a fun deal to go to. But if you're a waterfowler, I just don't know how you'd miss this.
Yeah, no, it's a great time. And even if you're not a waterfowler and you've thought about getting into it, this is a perfect place to come because there's all different experience levels here. I mean, there's people that have never been before to the person who's 60 years old and has been hunting his whole life or her whole life. So it's a great place. Nobody, this isn't one of those places where, you know, people look down on people because they don't know a whole lot. We are here to encourage people to get into the sport. We want people coming and having a good time. So
you know, I gotta jump in and tell you something before I forget to think about this, to mention this. You know, places to hunt is always a challenge for everybody. Everybody wants to know, where do I go to catch a fish? Where do I go to find some ducks? And isn't the Department of Wildlife going to have some presence here? Are they going to have a biologist or somebody that's going to be a lead of information?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. They played a huge role last year. They're planning on doing it again. Those guys are a great resource to have, especially if you're new to the sport or new to hunting in general. I mean, you can ask them any question and they've got all kinds of information for you. So we will have some seminars. we'll probably do some on, you know, how to scout for waterfowl, different habitat seminars, and just how to set decoy spreads and, you know, all kinds of different stuff. So it is really good information to have. You know, I know a lot of guys, you know, we like to think we know it all when it comes to it. But I find more times than not going to stuff like this, there's a lot of information that I've never even heard before. And so it's a great way to put some tools in your toolbox when you go out, because especially here in Oklahoma, you know, we're one of the last places to see the birds coming from up north. So they've seen everything from Canada all the way down here. So the birds are pretty smart by the time they get here. So it's good to learn new techniques and all that, but it's also good to learn things that you can do in the off season to improve the habitat, so you can have more birds here just because they want to be here, not just because they're passing through. So,
right. That sounds like some good stuff to me. And like I said, it sounds exciting for anybody that's either a new waterfowler or an experienced waterfowler. So how can they reach you or more information about the festival?
So they can give us a call here at the G&H Factory at 918-652-3314, or they can reach out to our email. It's info@ghdecoys.com. And if they just have any questions at all, or want to, you know, if there's any vendors out there listening that want to come, or anybody wants to get signed up for the challenge, just give us a call or shoot us an email, and we'll get you all signed up. And if you have just any general questions at all, if you can't make the festival and you want to know some stuff about helping out with conservation, you're more than welcome to call us on that too. So we love to talk over here. So we'd love to have somebody come talk to us.
Okay.
Sounds great.
Well, Clint, thank you for spending the time with us and helping explain some of those things. And we want to see that that event grow and continue to help the Wildlife Foundation get some funds. At the same time, we're helping conservation with our habitat and teaching our youngsters and so forth about places to hunt, how to hunt, and how to become good stewards of our outdoors. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Clint. Well, folks, that wraps up another episode. Thanks for listening to the Game Warden Connection podcast. You know, we set out to make this podcast a resource to help anyone get more out of the outdoors. And it doesn't matter if you're a hunter, fisherman, or an explorer. We're here for you. Do you have some questions? Or maybe comments? Please reach out to us on our website, gamewardenconnection.com, or on Facebook, and we'll do all we can to make a connection between you and an agency or industry professional. And along this journey, we'll find the answers you've been looking for. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review to help us grow and reach more people in our community. The views expressed on this podcast are solely those of the participants and not affiliated with any agency. And lastly, if you enjoy the outdoors, then pass on that tradition and introduce someone new to the wonderful experiences to be had hunting, fishing, and exploring. Until next time, folks, enjoy the great outdoors.